Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron.
My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end.
All right, we're back. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We just enjoyed an hour with Marla and David Celia.
So good.
Yeah, very good. And they're going to be performing tonight at
Moonshine.
Yeah, Moonshine Cafe in Oakville. I could go see them.
Why can't you?
I got things to do, man.
Oh, okay.
I got a thing. Listen, every once in a while we get just we interview celebrities and religious and spiritual leaders and, you know, recording Others. Artists, that kind of thing. But every once in a while we get like normal people on who've had just a crazy story. And I want to know how that's impacted them. And what does it do to someone spiritually? So that's why we've got Noah on the line. Noah Irvine is a teenager who lost his mom and his dad. His mom to suicide, his dad to a prescription drug overdose. And as a result of a classroom writing assignment where Noah talked openly for the first time, I think, really, about losing both his parents to mental illness and addiction, Noah came up with two goals for changes in the way our government can support other people like his parents. So here's goal number one, creation of a secretariat for mental health and addictions within the Prime Minister's office. Number two, creation of ministries of mental health and addictions at the federal, provincial, and territorial levels.
Yep.
How do you come up with that?
Because kids are smarter than we give them credit for. Holy I teach them all the time, and got to tell you, mental health in the high schools, even the younger schools, is pretty overwhelming right now.
Well, Noah sent a letter to 338 members of Parliament, and only 40 replied, so he went to the media, and eventually Noah had a one-on-one meeting with the Federal Minister of Health and a 20-minute phone call with Prime Minister Trudeau. Here's a website for you to check out. StepUpAndDoBetter.com. I love that. StepUpAndDoBetter.com. On the line from Guelph, Ontario, Noah Irvine. Noah, you've done a lot of media. What was the coolest interview that you've done where you were just actually a little nervous?
The coolest interview I've ever done, I think it would be with a radio program called Now or Never out of Winnipeg.
Okay.
But if I'm being a frank, your show probably a little bit too.
Oh, man. It's just us, you know. We're just two meatheads trying to figure out what's going on.
Uncle Tim and Uncle Drew.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Noah, listen, man, we can't glaze over the backstory because the backstory is really the front story. I cannot believe this has happened to you. And I know that you've had lots of people pour out their sympathies and they feel for you. And even sometimes I can imagine it'd be irritating. It might get a little irritating. People like, oh, I'm so sorry it happened to you, and people crying and stuff like that. But, dude, there's no way you can say it other than the stuff that has happened to you, that just sucks. You were never, ever designed to carry the kind of load that you're having to carry. So I'm really sorry that all this went down. Tell me about your mom.
Yeah, well, she had struggled much of her life, from what I understand. I obviously don't remember her because I was 5 when she died, but from what I understand, she had struggled much of her life. And with that struggle came significant mental health and some addictions issues, and those issues came to a head on the 18th May 2005 when she committed suicide. She was 24 when she died. I was 5, and you know, those issues that had been festering for many years finally came to a head, and she died due to her inner struggles and her inner battles.
Yeah, yeah. And you have hardly any memories of your mom. I mean, I was 21 when my mom died, and I have very few memories of her. They just seem to leak out of you for some reason. How about you?
Yeah, I have very few memories, if any. You know, she's been gone 14 years this May, so you know, that's a long time to say the least. But I have absolutely zero to little memory of her.
Okay. All right. How old are you?
I just turned 19 a couple of days ago.
Happy birthday, buddy. We're singing that to you right now. Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday to you.
Mama!
Happy birthday, dear Noah.
Happy birthday to you.
Buddy, that's so cool. What'd you do for your birthday?
I had wings at a pretty nice, from a nice sports bar in town here, and took it easy. My buddies are all coming back this weekend, so I'll probably hang out with them.
Nice.
But it was a pretty quiet birthday. The hockey game was on too late, so I didn't watch it. I was kind of disappointed, I'll be honest.
Let's talk about your dad now, obviously, because that's the next part of your story. How long ago did your mom died 14 years ago? How long ago did your dad die?
It's going on 4 years this coming May.
Okay. So that's obviously a little fresher, but your dad struggled with, you know, maybe some mental health stuff along the way. Is that right?
Mental health and addictions for much of his life. You know, it was pretty pronounced in his 20s. You know, I got memories of it when I was a kid, so it would have been before that, though. But from what I understand, his teens really brought it out. Would have been, I would imagine, similar to my mom as well, her teens. And then it just progressively got worse. And he died the 16th of May, 2015.
Wow. So May is not a real good month for you, man.
Not really, but June's a great month. So, because it's the end of school, which is kind of nice.
I was just about to say, wait, did he say something about June being a good month? I didn't. Yes, end of school is always a good month. So, okay, look, let's be blunt about this, man. Noah, how have you become the kind of guy that you are? I don't know you, but you're really well spoken. I was told that about you, but I had to hear it for myself. You're a great spokesperson for this. You're passionate about these causes. How did you not end up just tanking your life? How did you not end up just into all sorts of substances in order to cope?
Well, you know, when you see it firsthand, I mean, it deters you, it deterred me at least. I mean, not everybody is deterred by it. Let's be frank here. People do succumb to what their parents were affected by. However, I knew from quite a young age and into my teens that this was not going to be the life for me, and that I was going to do something to move past it. And by moving past it, it's still tethered to my hip, but it's with me in terms of my advocacy. It's not with me in terms of use of substances or anything of that nature.
Yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I'm not a politician, I can tell you that.
Yep.
And I'll give you a reason behind that. Throughout my advocacy, I've learned one really important thing, and that is that our politics and our political system has become so partisan, it's decayed our democracy to something unimaginable. Watching partisan politics disturbs me beyond belief, because we are so polarized in our political views that we refuse to hear the other side, and that's not for me at all.
No.
I would love to work within government, but our new government has put a hiring freeze on government workers, so that might take a couple of years for me to get in. But, you know, I would love to work within government, but I would not like to be elected at this current time, not until the partisan politics taps the brakes a little bit, because it's throughout my advocacy, I've really seen just the polarization of our democracy through partisanship, and that's I'm not really for that, and I'm not really wanting to get into that. So
yeah, people won't do what's right because it goes against party lines, or they don't want to look like they're voting for the other team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Noah, have you always been, I don't know how to describe you, man. You're freaking me out. First of all, your age group drives me nuts. I want to pound them, okay? They're just clueless and selfish, and you are not clueless nor selfish. What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with me? It's never been asked like that before. You know, I think maybe this is being a little bit, I don't know, maybe I'm going to toot my own horn here a little bit, but I think I've always been a person that has cared about the underdog, and I think that stems from my dad, because when he was doing better, really cared about people around him. So I think for that, but I also think that my family has played a large role in this. I learned quite quickly right and wrong, and I learned quite quickly that supporting your fellow man is bigger and better than just supporting yourself, because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and we all have to support one another. And I think sometimes maybe my age group doesn't do that as effectively as one would like, but for me, this is my normal. So maybe it's abnormal for some, but this is definitely my normal.
For some reason, I can see you and Don Cherry having a great conversation. What do you think?
Good Canadian kid.
Yeah, he's a good Canadian boy, you know. I quite like Don Cherry. I think he's quite funny. I would love to chat with him. But I have been a longtime watcher of Coach's Corner, so I think we could have a very good conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to send this interview to his daughter. Yeah, because I think there needs to be a connection here somehow, some way.
That'd be really cool.
Here's the thing, man. Like, you give off zero vibes that it's about you. And the stuff you've been through, everybody has compassion for. And the fact that you are standing strong and have risen up, and you are an overcomer. You're a genuine overcomer. Dude, if I was your relative, forget if I was your relative. I don't even know you, and I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that. One thing I've said to civics classes, because I do speak to civics classes in my school and other schools. One thing I've said consistently when asked, when do you stop? And it's been a tough question for me. When do I stop this? But one answer I've consistently given is I stop this when I am assured that no other 15-year-old child in this country is going to lose two parents to something that is preventable.
Yeah.
And I'm committed to that. And I'm committed to the other kids who are in similar situations to myself, and the potential future kids that could be in a position if our government doesn't change the tune on this song.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my whole standing on this issue.
Noah, I don't know if Tim, you're going to help me out with this one, because I'm not sure I'm going to word this right, but...
You trust me with words right now?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, there is a serious suicide problem within the Indigenous communities. Mm-hmm. Serious suicide problem. And if the government hasn't kicked in and done something already about this, really kind of taken over and lean in on that issue, then maybe it's going to take a white kid to wake them up.
Yeah, you know, I know that our minister our former Attorney General, Minister of Justice, in the last week has been under some serious scrutiny from her government and her party, and I know that some people have drawn the comparison that, you know, is this really how a white cabinet minister would be treated? That's a tough question. I don't know if I can speak on that because I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah.
I've never been in government. What I can tell you is the lack of care until the media got involved, I think, shows more than just race. I think it shows that our government just doesn't care about this.
Yeah.
I think they don't, you know, there are reserves in Northern Ontario that are struggling beyond belief. There are reserves in across this country that are struggling beyond beliefs. There are cities that are overburdened by this issue, and governments refuse to get involved, no matter the color of one's skin. Government just seems to have completely fallen off the radar in terms of how to deal with this. And, you know,
why do you think that is, Noah?
Why? I think it's because you don't get to go stand in front of a GO train and take a picture when you do something about this. You know, when you build a rail line, you get to stand in front of it saying, look at all the money we spent on this. Look at all the money and resources we poured into this railway station. When you do it for mental health, what photo op do you get at the end of it? None. You don't get a photo op because it's going to take a lot longer than 5-6 years to build a railway platform or a railway line. It's going to take a lot longer than 6 years to fix the system that's been decaying for the last 30 years. I firmly believe that it is a, what do you get out of this is what politicians think about, because you don't really get anything out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and you have to really dig deep and create a system that works. And it's far easier to throw money at an issue than it is to actually sit down and create some leadership on a file of this magnitude.
Have you sent any more letters than the original 338?
Yeah, so I'm on track by about, I would say, April or so to send 1,150 letters to across Canada. So that includes the Senate, that includes our sovereigns, the lieutenant governors, the governor general, the queen. Along with that, it includes every provincial and territorial legislative assembly, and interspersed with that 1,150, there's about 30 to 40 mayors across Ontario and also across Canada.
I wish my kids were like you.
I don't even know if kids write letters anymore. That's what amazes me.
No, I kind of want to change track a little bit on this conversation, because you and I spoke on the phone a little bit about this, and I'm fascinated. I'm always fascinated with how people react to tragedy and to darkness. And dude, you have suffered through more tragedy and darkness than you deserve. It was just, we've gone over that. It's crap. So when you were in your darkest time, was there anything inside of you that said, really? People think there's a God. How could there be a God? Like, or did you lean in and go, you know, did you pray? They say there's no atheists in foxholes. Sometimes people reach out with prayers during really, really tough times. Like, what have you done with all the spiritual God stuff?
Well, you know, it's tough for me, right? Because, you know, after experiencing such tragedy, where do you go from there, right? I think for me, the biggest part was just becoming open to myself that this was a problem. You know, this is not a little story. You know, we're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff here. I mean, this is 2:00 on a Saturday afternoon. We're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. And I think for me, dealing with it was a work. I had to do it on my own. I had to figure it out myself. I had to bring in family to help me with it, because it is it's a large boulder, and you can't move it by yourself. You got to have a couple of buddies, and you have to have your family to help push that boulder up the mountain. And, you know, I think that spiritually I'm not there yet. I don't know if I ever will be because of my personal circumstances, but I'm not against it. It provided a significant amount of comfort to my dad, and, you know, I'd like to think they're looking down on me right now and are smiling because I'm doing what I'm doing. And I just continue to remain open with family and friends with what I've dealt with.
Yeah, because you do have some family members that I know and spoken to that, I mean, they're like super Jesus people.
Yeah, I guess if you want to call them that, I mean, you know, my grandfather has been a pastor at his church. You know, my dad's brothers and their families are you know, very religious. And for me, it's just, it's harder just because of what I've dealt with. But I'm not against it. You know, I'm always figuring it out and trying to work on it. And it's been a good road so far. So
yeah, good for you, man. You know what I love about that answer was just its authenticity. I got the feeling you did not answer the way that you thought some spiritual radio show would want you to answer. You answered so openly. How about that for a better word?
Awesome.
If you need a media blitz in the future with whatever's next, you've got an open show here. Anytime you want to come back in the show, you come down to the studio, we'll do a thing, we'll maybe invite someone else to talk about the issue as well. Maybe we can get Grapes on. That'd be fun. But I don't want to understate this, man. I'm so proud of you, dude. So proud of you. Good on you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for getting my message out, because it's important that this doesn't happen and continue to happen in this province and in this country.
Well, let's just finish it with this. Let's practically, okay, a bunch of people heard your story. You lost your parents. You know, there's addiction. There's mental health. You're 19 years old. You've got the orphan label and all that kind of, you know, country music song would write great tunes about you. But what do you want people to do?
Well, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because there's people out there dealing with larger obstacles than I am dealing
with.
Love
this kid. Yep.
You know, what I would really like is for people to call and email, write their MPs and MPPs saying, hey, what are you doing about this? Because there's a kid who just was on the radio that says, you're not doing much. I want to know what you're doing. Because there's only so much I can say, but when you get people calling from across Canada or across Ontario asking their elected representatives, what are you doing about this, and holding them accountable, that speaks volumes, and that's how you create impactful change.
So could they go to stepupanddobetter.com, and is there like a copy and paste thing that they could, because they don't know what words to say.
No.
So have you written out stuff that they could copy and paste and send to their government people?
Yeah, my letters are all accessible. I'm open, good, honest, and transparent with what I've said and how I've communicated with politicians across this country. And they're all open for the public, and the reports that I cite in those letters are, again, all open to the public.
And this goes around the world, too.
So you need to know this, man. You're talking to Tim the Tool over here.
Meathead.
Who suffers with depression.
Yeah, myself.
Diagnosed with depression. I had a suicide attempt when I was a teenager. We are on board and behind you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Noah. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye. Noah Irvine on the Drew Marshall Show. The website is stepupanddobetter.com. Stepupanddobetter.com. Go there. Find out what you need to do. Get in touch with this guy. Send him a note. Tell him you heard him on our show and encourage him. But do something. Man.
You can go to my website, meathead.com.
Yeah, meathead.